go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back. We're joined, as we have the high privilege of being, very, very frequently, indeed every week just about, by our friend and colleague Bill Gertz. He is the senior editor at the Washington Free Beacon, a super online resource for breaking news, particularly in the national security space, thanks to his reporting. He is also the author of the prize-winning column at the Washington Times, Inside the Ring, and, well, six books, most of them bestsellers, including The Failure Factory, most recently. Bill Gertz, welcome back. Happy New Year to you, sir. It's good to have you with us.
Happy New Year, Frank. Good to be on the program.
Thanks. We've been discussing with several of our colleagues reasons to think it may not be all that happy a new year, and I want to start off with a topic that we've touched on with several of them, including notably Fred Flights and your friend Michael Rubin, namely North Korea. And a lot of attention's been focused, of course, on this nuclear test. I'd like to get your sense as to what it was, for one thing, and then the fact that this attention seems to be obscuring somewhat another story about North Korea's activities and exploits in the nuclear weapons business that has gone unremarked by most people, except, of course, for your good self. So hit that topic, if you would.
Sure. According to U.S. officials, the latest U.S. intelligence assessment of the underground nuclear test carried out by the North Koreans is that it appears to have been a partial attempt at a thermonuclear detonation. That is, a two-stage nuclear device that's set off by a small nuclear explosion. That's the latest assessment. They're still doing analysis of it, but it was an indication that they're going ahead with it. The second important significant analysis here is why this test was carried out. According to U.S. assessments, it was really targeted at bolstering the fortunes of the Kim Jong-un regime. Kim, who turns 33 on Friday, is very inexperienced, doesn't know anything about running a country, much less one with nuclear weapons. So it was designed to give credibility to him as the supreme leader there. He announced in December that they had a thermonuclear or hydrogen bomb, and this test was directly attributed to his orders. In fact, they published a copy of his signed order to conduct this test. And the second aspect of this is the foreign relations angle. And the U.S. assessment is that this was clearly targeted at China, which has been pressing North Korea not to conduct nuclear tests, to behave itself. And this was done to tell the Chinese, look, we're not going back to the six-party, six-nation nuclear talks. We have a nuclear deterrent, and we're not going to give it up. And so this has set the stage for some increased tensions between Beijing and Pyongyang.
Well, let me ask you about this. We'll come back to the other topic in a moment. But just to sort of bounce off of you what Michael Rubin said a moment ago, two things, really. One, that China has been playing a kind of good cop, bad cop routine with us, that they've enabled the North Koreans, the regime itself, of course, but specifically this kind of activity, even as they want us to believe that they're trying to check it. And secondly, that in fact, the North Koreans are interested in a shakedown. They won't give up their nuclear program any more than the Iranians have, but they want to get paid for not doing something. Do you credit either of those?
Well, that's certainly a possibility, but I think it's more of an impact that although North Korea is the main patron of under China, that China supplies all of its goods, North Korea also is aware that China is not willing to use the leverage that it has to really pressure the North. So it's clear that there's something going on there. We noted that recently, within the last month, there was an attempt to thaw relations, and they sent a band, a musical band, from North Korea to China, and the band was sent packing when, during one of their videos, they wanted to show a video of a missile launch, and the Chinese said no, and the North Koreans said, well, we're going home. So clearly there's some tensions going on there. Whether they'll amount to much is not clear. The other thing is their submarine-launched ballistic missile program. This test followed a a test of an ejection test of a submarine-launched ballistic missile on December 21st that was successful and has really set off some alarm bells in both the intelligence community and the Pentagon. And the reason for that is that in November, in fact, it was November 27th, they tried to do this ejection test from a submarine called the Goray, which is Korean for whale, and it failed. And it, and in fact, it damaged the submarine so severely that it almost sank. It returned to port with a listing at a 45-degree angle. But this latest test was successful.
This is a pretty remarkable feat. I mean, as is, you know, their nuclear weapons program as well, I guess. But this recovery from that incident, as you say, and apparently a successful test, at least of some elements of a submarine-launched ballistic missile, does really suggest that this threat from the North is going to continue to metastasize. And I don't see much evidence that we're getting our head around it, let alone stopping it. Bill, let me turn to another thing that you wrote about, I believe, in the Inside the Ring column, if I'm not mistaken, namely the administration's determination to pursue something that I just also discussed with Michael Rubin, this Countering Violent Extremism initiative. What do you make of this and its practical effect, if any?
Yeah, this is a new or updated program that's going to be led by the Department of Homeland Security. Will also include Justice and FBI and some elements of the State Department. So it's primarily focused on domestically deterring young people and others from joining ISIL. Again, as you're aware, that the big problem for the Obama administration is their refusal to identify the nature of the threat as Islamist extremism. And so this is going to be another failed effort, but the fact that they're doing an update shows that their earlier efforts are not working, this idea to counter the propaganda and also the recruitment efforts of the Islamic State. We don't know exactly what they're going to roll out in this new program, but the administration has a presidential directive, PSD 11, I think it's called, which is being kept secret. I've been trying to get it released for years now, and it basically outlines the administration's plan to use the Muslim Brotherhood, which is a jihadist, extremist, and supremacist organization. And yet other nations such as Britain and those in the Middle East are beginning to get very much aware that the Muslim Brotherhood is the enemy.
They are, and we need to be getting our head around that, too. I'd like to think this is a topic that we'll focus on in the presidential election before it's over, especially in light of Hillary Clinton's role in embracing the Muslim Brotherhood and legitimating it and funding it and arming it even. Bill, let me lastly very quickly ask you about a follow-on to a story we talked about last week. China, again, in the news with your help, the blinding laser business. The Red Cross has apparently come up on the net on this, haven't they? And if so, to what effect?
Yeah, the International Committee of the Red Cross, it's a Geneva-based non-governmental organization, was instrumental in pressuring the United Nations to pass a ban on blinding lasers that went into effect in 98. And it was based on the false notion that the U.S. was building blinding lasers. Well, I contacted the organization after I published a Free Beacon story on China deploying blinding lasers with its military, and this organization was almost silent on the impact of this. So it seems like it's one of those no enemies on the left. A former Pentagon lawyer told me that it's really they don't want to criticize the Chinese at all because they'll be afraid of having to leave Beijing and not have an officer there.
Yeah, but the implications of this, these are apparently rifles that have lasers built into them and that can be deployed with ground forces, special operations units and the like. And heavens knows, the proliferation of those poses a threat to all kinds of things, including commercial airliners and the like. Bill, as always, your reporting on all of these topics is indispensable. Thank you for doing it at the Washington Free Beacon and also the Washington Times and sharing your insights with us each week. We'll look forward to doing so throughout 2016. Thank you, my friend. Good to talk with you. Good to talk with the rest of you. I hope we'll do so again Monday. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.